Oh, gratefully sing his wonderful love. I should in defender the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
We're continuing on in our series, Building the Church. We're talking about our mission as a church. Titled it Engage. We want to engage in our mission. Randy read the passage for us earlier. And yeah. Okay, I'm going to do my best to get through this and not keep you here all day. How about that? Let's do that, because I just feel like there's so much I have to say about this. So first thing that we see in this is that they were engaged in gathering to celebrate God. Engaged in gathering to celebrate God, which is exactly what we are doing right now, what we have done this morning. By way of reminder, here's the text. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe because of what God was doing, the many wonders and signs that were being performed through the prophets. God was at work in this new community of Jesus followers in this. It says they devoted themselves. The believers. This is right after following the day of Pentecost when Peter preached. The Spirit had been poured out and Peter preached, and 3,000 people were added to the church that day. So that's when this happens here. And there's four things that we see that they do. We see the... wrong button. The apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. These four things that they were engaged with. And when looking at these four things, I think what we see is we see what we do here as the church when we gather in worship. This is describing some of the early worship gatherings that the church had, of what would they do when they would be together in it. So all of these point towards the different aspects of Sunday worship. Now, an interesting thing happened somewhere between this point here in Acts chapter 2, which is roughly somewhere in the AD 30s, early 30s AD. Something that happened between there and about 300 AD. And what it is that happened is the church became formalized. And structures began to be instituted, and power was consolidated, and control was established, and you ended up with a hierarchy within the church. And in that hierarchy, you had people that were in charge, and you had people that would decide who can and who can't be a part of it, who can and who can't be on the stage, who can and who can't preach, who can and who can't deliver communion, who can and who can't baptize people. All of these different things that were controlled in this, even to the point of saying who can and who can't pronounce forgiveness of sin. That it was controlled, right? It was around 300 AD that the church was formalized. Constantine did it in, I believe it was 313 AD. And you had the formal Roman Catholic Church start, and all of this hierarchy and all of this stuff. And it was the beginning of this division between clergy and laity. You can even go into the architecture of how churches were built and began to be built in that time. And see, there were barriers between the ordained clergy and those that were not ordained. And so what started happening was offerings were taken up, buildings were built, services were offered by ordained ministers, and the people came to hear and to receive and to be told by the ordained ministers what they were to believe, what they were to do, and all of that. And that became the pattern for the church for about 1,700 years. That's how churches worked. And a lot of what we do today is still based on that model. I was talking with somebody this week, and I said, just imagine, if you will, that we were to have a communion service here at Salt Creek, and somebody who's not a pastor of Salt Creek were to preside over that communion service, or somebody who's not an ordained Baptist minister presided over that communion service. Some of you are imagining, I don't know if we should do that or could do that. Why is that? The reason for that comes out of our history of all of the structure that was implemented into it. When we look at how the church started, it wasn't that, was it? They gathered together in worship, and they shared amongst one another. They did the things that we just did today. And it was beautiful. So one of the things here at Salt Creek, when we think about our mission, and we use this word gather here. We use this word gather. And this describes for us what we do in this space together or wherever it is that we gather for the purpose of worship. And that's the word we're using to describe what we want to be. We want to be a gathering of God's people celebrating what God is doing. And so I want to encourage you, as you think about being together, as you think about what happens in this space, what happens when we are together, I want you to think differently. I want you to think not in terms of services, but in terms of gatherings. Because words matter, and the way we think about things is influenced by the words. Okay? So, here's what I'm talking about. In a gathering, we bring something to offer. We are coming in as worshipers, bringing something to offer an almighty God as a sacrifice of praise, as an offering of worship, okay? In a service, we think I'm coming to receive something, not coming to give something, coming to offer something. Often, if we think about a service in the sense of minister, that someone like myself is ministering. That word means serve, is ministering to you, is serving you, and you have to receive something from me. Today, I got to receive some amazing things from you in hearing God's stories. Amazing, remarkable. Because God's working in your lives just as much as he's speaking to me and guiding me in what we talk about on Sunday morning. All right, so we move from no longer just coming to receive something to bringing something to offer. Also in gatherings, we are coming to exercise our spiritual gifts. We all have spiritual gifts. We're going to be talking about that next week in detail. And so when we come to gather and we are engaged, then we are exercising our spiritual gifts, right? There is more than one person in this body that has a gift of teaching. That's why we have small groups in Sunday school. If you didn't have small groups in Sunday school, and I was the only one who was speaking, because I'm the one that's ordained, because I'm the one that's authorized to tell you what the Bible means, oh my goodness, then we're stifling the work of God in our midst. The same thing with encouragement and exhortation and hospitality. Small groups in homes means that other people get to practice hospitality. Right? Move that small group around. It just opens up when we think about it in gatherings that we all are exercising our spiritual gifts rather than coming to do what we might call consuming religious products. Consuming religious products. Meaning, what is the content that was created by the music team and by the speaker, and did I like that content? That's the consuming model. Rather than thinking, hey, I get to be with church today. I get to be with God's people. How am I going to exercise my spiritual gifts today? Who am I going to encourage? Who do I get to pray for today? It's just a different mindset, right? So that's where we want our mindset in that. And then lastly, in a gathering, we are dwelling together in community. but in a service, we are attending programs that I'm asked to support with my time and resources. Right? See, oftentimes we think of church in the sense of, okay, the staff and the leaders are going to create programs, and I will decide whether I go to the programs or not, and if I like the programs enough, I might just give money to support the programs, and I might just actually volunteer even my time for those programs, rather than seeing church as a community that I dwell in and do life in and build relationships in. It's not a collection of programs. It is a gathering of people, right? And that's what we want to have our focus on when it comes to having gatherings. So this might sound a little bit strange, but here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want you to stop attending worship services. Stop attending worship services. And start gathering together in community for the sake of worship. Gather together in community for the sake of worship. It's a healthier space for us, right? Because we all have something to offer. We all have spiritual gifts to use in that. My wife came across this meme that was a Francis Chan quote this week, and I had to find it again this morning because I felt like it was so appropriate for what we're talking about. And it was this person that said to Francis Chan, I didn't really like worship today. And his response was, that's okay, we weren't worshiping you. Listen, if you've ever said in your mind or out loud, I didn't like the music today, I didn't care for the message today, I didn't like that text, I didn't like, you're thinking as a consumer. We're trained in our culture to think like consumers. And so then you're coming to a service to consume a religious product. And then you evaluate that product. Did I like it enough that I actually want to give money to support it? Rather than recognizing the church as the community that you get to dwell in to exercise your gifts, to celebrate what God is doing in the lives of others, to pray with them, to do life together, to serve together, and to do all of those things. So it's just a different way of thinking about it. So let's gather together to worship together, not attend services. Second thing that we want to talk about is growing. Growing. We're engaged in growing to disciple others, right? So it says, now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. There's a lot to say here, but some of the things we want to point out, okay? They were together. They held all things in common. This was a unique community. It was a unique time in the church, okay? They were dependent upon one another. There was an interdependency within the church community. One thing that is a little different in our culture that we have to recognize is that in our culture, independence is valued, not interdependence. But in the church, there's an interdependence. We need one another. We simply put, we need one another. And anytime we have an attitude of, I don't need my church, I love what Chester shared. I recognize I need my church. I need to be in community with people. That's beautiful. That's recognizing there's something in the culture that has trained me, that has taught me to be independent, to be John Wayne, to not need anybody. Guys, that's not the Jesus way of life. The Jesus way of life is doing life together, is depending upon one another, being in community together. And that's what our Sunday school class, our small groups, that's what those small gatherings are all about, is doing life together, right? And every day, it says every day they devoted themselves. So what we want to notice here is this. Right? I'm not saying, okay, let's start doing an everyday mass type thing like the Catholic Church where you can go to a service every single day. No, but it's a rhythm that they were regularly in community with one another. It wasn't just a Sunday morning thing. But there were times outside of that they were in community with one another. And we want to be in community with one another as well throughout the week. So we want to encourage everybody to be involved with the small group. And it says, together, they were in the temple together. That's like the Sunday morning. And then breaking bread from house to house is that small group idea. They gathered in homes. They took meals together. They studied together. So what is a small group? A small group is a smaller version of what we're doing today. You're reading together, you're growing together, you're praying together, you're discerning together, you're worshiping together. It is a place where you can be known fully by others, and you get to know others fully. It's hard in this space with this many people, right? There's not enough time for everybody to share, for everybody to get to know everybody fully. But when you've only got 10 people in a living room, oh, wow, God can work in that. And you can really start to hear the stories and really develop a trust and a care for one another that goes beyond what we can do here. So how we care for, how we learn from, how we receive one another, that is all what the small groups are about. Right? There's just too many of us in here to be able to regularly exercise all of our small gifts. But when you start releasing people in small groups, now you've multiplied. Like this morning alone, because we have small groups that meet Sunday morning, we've traditionally called it Sunday school, right? There's about 10 other people this morning that got to practice and exercise the spiritual gift of teaching. That's awesome. You know, when Sunday school started, it was highly controversial because it wasn't taught by ordained priests and ministers. Somebody other than the professional was interpreting the word of God, and that was edgy in places. That was rejected by some. We think of it as something that's traditional, but it's actually in the life of the church, it's revolutionary. Because it values small group, it values the teaching and the priesthood of believers. That's one of our core things that we believe. So in that, Pastor Josiah mentioned earlier in the announcements, on June 3rd, we've got our equip event. That's a training event. If you are teaching, have been teaching, have thought about teaching, are praying about teaching, God wakes you up in the middle of the night and puts teaching on your mind, show up. Join us. We'd love to have you. If you just want to learn more about this small group stuff that I'm talking about, come join us for that on June 3rd. It's just the morning, 9 to noon, we're just going to be talking about small groups in this whole area that we've just been sharing about. As important as it is to gather in this space regularly together, it might actually be more important to be in small groups together. And that might sound kind of weird because usually success is measured by how many people are in this room. But I don't think that's what success actually looks like. I think success is more about engagement and how many people are engaging in community. I'd rather see more people in small groups if that meant less people in here. I mean, I want both. I think both are good. But honestly, if you're not in a small group, you are missing out on a huge part of the Christian life. A huge part. I so encourage you to get connected into a small group. Last thing. We go to share with others. We go. There is a story to share. There is a message of hope. And God broke through this last week. We heard the story of somebody coming to faith in Jesus, trusting in Jesus as her Savior at 97 years of age. Don't tell me that anybody is beyond the hope of Jesus. God breaks through in that, right? And so we have a story to tell, all right? So in the text, it says, they ate their food, again, in community, they ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved, right? So literally, they're having meals together. They're doing life together. And in that, it says what? They did it with joyful and sincere hearts. With joyful and sincere hearts, which tells me that that joy defined the community. And what is that? That's fruit of the Spirit. It's Galatians 5:22. Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These things were on display in the church. The Spirit of God working through them, transforming them, and changing their attitudes, their thoughts, their ways that they related together and behaved and loved and all of these things. And so then what happened because of that? They enjoyed the favor of all the people. The community, this is in Jerusalem where this is happening, the people in Jerusalem that didn't follow Jesus saw something in the Jesus people that they were like, wow, that's different. And what was different about them? The joyful and sincere hearts. The change, the transformation, right? In Acts 5:13, it says the people spoke well of them. How many times do we see in our culture today where people speak well of the church? How many times can we say that the church has the favor of all the people? We still have truth. We know the truth. We know our theology. We know the gospel. We know what the message is. But somewhere along the lines, this idea of having joyful and sincere hearts and the fruits of the Spirit being on display and people seeing the Spirit of God working in God's people and them looking at that and saying, wow, look at that. Somewhere we lost something in that. And then the result of it is we see that the Lord added to their number each day, those who were getting saved. So we see a pattern. We see genuine transformation takes place. The fruits of the Spirit are on display. Those are observed and respected by the non-believers. And so then that creates the opportunity to believers to share about Jesus and what he has done. 17 years, Marilyn and Judy brought Arlene to Bible study. 17 years. How many of us would have given up on someone after a year? 17 years. They loved and cared for her and displayed in that Bible study the fruits of the Spirit. God used those 17 years to bring her to faith. That is wonderful. That is, and they were looking for the opportunities, right? They're looking for those opportunities to share. And then God changes the hearts. We don't get to change people's hearts. God is the one who changes their hearts. So here's some verses about how this works, right? 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Do you hear that? The hope that is in you, the hope of Jesus, should be so evident that somebody's asking you about it and then be ready to give them an answer. Colossians 4, 5 through 6, act wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. Right? Always be prepared. There's going to be opportunities. We need to keep our eyes open for those. You never know when those opportunities are going to be. So, we go. Now, what does this look like at Salt Creek? Sometimes it looks like we go on a mission trip, right? We had a mission trip training this weekend for the CLIM 2 mission trip this summer. They spent the weekend in community and training. Sometimes it means we go somewhere else. Sometimes we go to Bolivia. Sometimes we go to Africa. We support missionaries that go different places. We just heard from Bells in Wales, right? We know that. But as Brandon unpacked this for us 2 weeks ago in the Great Commission, sometimes we go across the street. Sometimes we go across the office, right, Rachel? Sometimes we go across the living room. Going does not mean you have to jump on a plane, okay? Going just means wherever we go, we are looking to make disciples, to share the stories of Jesus. So a couple of things that we want to invite you to engage in or be in praying about here in addition at Salt Creek. One, real quick, in October, we're going to have an evangelism conference and try to be able to give all of us tools and resources for how to do this kind of stuff, right? We want to be a church that equips you to do the things that we're inviting you in to do. So that's in October. Secondly, something that we want to announce that we're really excited about here at Salt Creek, something that God is doing that's just on the cusp, just on the beginning edge of it. And that's this. Emilio Vasquez Goni has agreed. Many of you know Emilio. He's on the soundboard today. So I told him not to turn off my mic when I talk about him. And Emilio has agreed to come on our staff as a pastoral intern. And Emilio is now enrolled in our Kairos program through the North American Baptist Seminary, Sioux Falls Seminary. And is going to be getting the Bible and theology training. And he's going to be mentored by myself, the Hispanic pastor at West Hills, Serene, Jeff Hart with Hispanics for Christ, one of our mission partners. And we are praying and trusting that God may begin a Hispanic-Spanish-speaking ministry right here at Salt Creek. I don't see a lot of that ministry happening in our area. We know there is in West Salem. We know there is an Independence, but in Dallas and West Valley, we know the opportunity is there, and we just have been discerning that God just might be up to something in that. So we want to invite you to be praying about that as we mentor and get training for Emilio. We don't know what any timeline in this looks like. We don't know when God is going to open those doors. It's all a matter of when he starts bringing people in those connections, but we're beginning to go down that road and trusting that God's going to do something here in this, and we're excited about it as leaders here at Salt Creek. So celebrate that with us, pray about that, and look for ways that God is putting you on mission right here, right now. All right? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the mission that we have. And God, now as we close in song, Lord, may you be pleased with the offering of praise that we bring today, Lord, for it is your joy and your delight that we seek, not our own. And we celebrate what you are doing in our lives and in the life of our church. We thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.